When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Everyone, and welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa.
And I'm Brian. In this special episode, we wanted to highlight the amazing things that our community does to support underrepresented youth during the holidays.
It's important that we support everyone during the holiday season because you never know what a youth may be going through. For youth in care, it can be really difficult to enjoy holidays while being away from family. We encourage you to support a youth in need, whether it be by donating, volunteering, or creating a welcoming space for youth to feel safe and heard.
Our community loves to spread the Christmas joy around this time of year, so be prepared to spread the joy with Youth Voice Amplified and many other advocates in our community during this holiday season.
We have two very special guests here with us today, and both of them are known to be amazing advocates to our youth year in and year out. They will share with us today some of the challenges that our youth may be facing during this time and how they advocate and support youth during the holidays.
Please enjoy a conversation with our special guests.
Okay, well, first and foremost, welcome to Youth Voice Amplified. Brianna, can you say your name and your position and what agency you come from?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Brianna Wood, and I work with Kern County Network for Children, and I am a prevention specialist.
Awesome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm Christy Torres, and I'm with the Department of Human Services, and I oversee the outreach and communications team.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you for being on the show today.
So, of course, as to start Youth Voice Amplified, this is customary to do a little icebreaker. And for your icebreaker today, it is, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, you said favorite. I thought it was our, like, worst Christmas movie. I don't know if I have a favorite, but the ones I do not love watching are any of the Home Alone movies. Like, fine. Any one of them. They go on forever, and it's a child home alone in his house, and there's people trying to break into it. And the whole time, I'm like, why is no one calling 911?
I guess I'm accurate. I'm like,
not my favorite.
Wouldn't like that one.
Yeah,
from the work you favorite. Do, too. Like, that's very accurate.
That's funny, because I was going to say the complete opposite. I was going to say I thought the Home Alone was just such a classic.
It is a classic, though.
I mean, there's a lot of questions I have. I think as watching it younger, I didn't have a lot of questions, but now with my career and like what I work in, I definitely am like, oh, why was a child home alone? How did a child end up here in the family somewhere else? But I've always thought, oh, that's such a classic movie when I was younger.
I think a lot of my questions were like, why did y'all go that far? Like the robbers got hurt multiple times. The way I would have been like, I'm going home. You got me messed up. I burned my hand. I'm going home.
But I think for me as a kid, I didn't like that was just like, oh, it was just funny or things were happening. And I was so like, what's next? But I never really questioned it until now that, like you said, it's like, well, there are a lot of things happen in that movie that are like, what? Why?
I still think they're funny. I just know that if I was the robber, I would be heated. If I touched a doorknob and it burned me.
And it burned you?
I'm going home.
The amount of time something was dropped on their heads, just
concussions.
Yeah, like how did you keep getting back up? I don't believe you.
They were dedicated. They were going to get in there one way.
There. You couldn't give me to rob anything like that.
But my favorite is the Santa Claus series. I like the Santa Claus movies. Those are key.
I'm trying to think, what's the main actor in that?
It's a guy. He's Tim the Tool Man. I don't know his name.
I love those movies. I think mine are the like animated series. Like the Rudolph, like the clay animation.
Oh, cute.
The old school ones.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite. Brian?
With like the little penguin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the Elf with Will Ferrell. That's my movie. Yeah. Right
oh,
there.
That's funny. That's can very, never go wrong with Elf.
I was going to say, that's a very, very popular movie.
I just love Will Ferrell, you know?
He's a funny guy.
It's hard not to laugh.
So for our signature question, you guys may have not heard. What does Youth Voice mean to you, especially during this time of year?
So Youth Voice means to me the driving focus of any and all services that we facilitate at the Dream Center. Youth Voice means allowing youth a space where they can decide what they want to do, where they're allowed choices, where they're talked to frequently, where they're acknowledged and recognized, and that we're really driving towards what it is that that youth wants and not necessarily trying to create or do things based on what we feel we should be doing.
That's a great definition.
I definitely agree with that. There's a lot of things I would have just to not repeat. But I also think it's a lot of allowing youth to drive where they go, any direction they choose, and giving them, you know, empowering youth to decide what they want and how they want it, or just to give opinions. So really advocating for communication and hearing you speak for yourself and what you want. And, you know, as we said, we're both different agencies that work with youth. So just, you know, knowing that we are here to listen is really what it means to me, to just really allow youth to drive their own direction, and we're there to support.
You guys both defined it perfectly. Thank you. Christy, can you tell us about the Department of Human Services and how your agency supports the county?
So the Department of Human Services is, you know, as we said, a department within the county that offers services to the entire county in different capacities. So it can be from Medi-Cal services, healthcare, getting people signed up. It can be CalFresh benefits for families, as well as child protective services. It has a lot of components. It's a very large department. It's the largest county department here in Kern County. And so we provide a whole lot of different services for the community. And the goal is really to, you know, help everybody in whatever way they may, you know, need. And we are a large office, so we encourage anybody who is either struggling or needs any kind of assistance to come into our office.
Brianna, I know you work with the Network for Children at the Dream Center. Can you tell us a little bit about the Dream Center for listeners who aren't familiar with the organization?
Yeah, so the Kern County Network for Children Dream Center is Kern's one-stop shop for current and former foster youth, youth experiencing homelessness. We don't really have a starting age, but it's up until the age of 25. And it's youth who have been in care at any point in their life. We try to get youth engaged in services, or just know about our services as early as possible. That way, if anything happens throughout the duration of their life, there's like a safe place or a point that they can reference back to where they can come and get access to services. We focus on basic meeting basic needs all the way up to like the higher needs, or so youth can come in and they can take a shower there, they can get connected to higher education, they can get assistance with employment, get connected to Medi-Cal services, CalFresh services. Really, it encompasses any, we like to say that any need that a youth may have, they can get that need met at the Dream Center. We have housing services, really anything. And there are multiple agencies that sit at the Dream Center that help us facilitate what it is that we need to do for our youth.
And for youth in care, what are the eligibility requirements? Like, they just be in care for one day?
Mm-hmm. One day.
What are some challenges that youth face during the holidays?
So at the Dream Center, we facilitate services for youth up until the age of 25. We don't really have a starting age, but I would say that our typical is 16 to 25. So challenges look different per youth, keeping in mind that like things need to be individualized, but a lot of the things that they face are just like not having safe spaces to go to. Our youth are in foster care. They experience foster care at some point in their lives. So they might not have a place to go for the holidays. They might not have strong family relationships or healthy relationships that they can build off of. So sometimes during the holidays, it's that challenge of healthy versus feeling alone, right? We're making those decisions and we're, you know, those youth are put in those places where like, hey, am I going to be alone? Or maybe I'm going to go stay with my aunt who's maybe like not the best option because that's the only family that I have. And that's a hard choice. That's a difficult challenge that they have to face during this time.
Yeah, I think a lot of times during the holidays, it's especially hard. I mean, in general, you're, you know, everywhere you go, there are family-oriented activities or things like that. And when we're talking about youth who may have been in foster care, they don't always have that family support. And so I think the holidays are just especially hard because it can bring up either memories that may be positive but may not be positive. And so really, I think it's that the holidays can be a hard time, and not just for youth, I think for anybody, mm-hmm. but specifically for youth, you know, who have may be going through a hardship or through, you know, different stages of their life can definitely be a difficult time. And so, yeah, I think it's holidays are not, you know, what everybody thinks for some people. And so we just have to kind of be aware of that.
So how do you engage with foster youth to understand their needs and preferences during this time?
For me, working at the Department of Human Services, a lot of our engagement comes from the social workers that are working with the youth directly. You know, we they have more interaction with the youth than maybe I would in my current role. And so really having workers talk to their youth and get to know the youth and build those strong relationships, as well as, you know, places like the Dream Center that really interact with youth ongoing all the time. That's really our source of getting to know youth and getting more information in effort to do things for them, whether it be the holidays or any other time during the year. But really finding who a youth connects with and being that, you know, communicating with that person to who a youth is comfortable with is really our main focus on how to connect better with youth and hear from them directly.
Yeah, like you mentioned, we talk to the youth on like a daily basis. The foundation of what we do is to build those different kinds of relationships and really emphasize on that rapport. And I would say during the holidays, and something that service providers or youth service providers should be doing in general, I mean, really anyone, is consistency and patience, but especially during the holidays, really emphasizing that, just being super consistent for them and saying like, hey, even if this is like a hard time for you, we're still going to be here. We're still going to show up. We're going to allow you to show up and allow you this space. And then remembering that during this time, you know, that allowing that safe space might look like allowing a youth to be in a bad mood or like maybe be angry. And that's okay, because everyone has hard days. And even if you're mad today and you're struggling today, like we're still going to be here tomorrow and I'm still going to show up and be like, hey, happy to see you. Like no matter what happens.
Yeah, I'm just glad you guys put an emphasis on relationships with the youth and that consistency, because like previously, they may not have had that consistency, and you guys giving them that space to be themselves or, you know, maybe not had a great day, you know, you'll always be there no matter what. So we appreciate that.
I think it proves kind of what unconditional love is saying, where it's like conditional love is if you don't do certain things or you don't act a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a lot of what youth get a lot of the time. So when they do these things like act up or have a bad day, they have like the assumption that you're not going to be here tomorrow. And then when you are, it's kind of like, look at that. That's crazy.
How do you support youth who may be hesitant to receiving help?
I would say, again, consistency and offering choices, right? So you have to kind of take those preconceived notions out of your head of like, this is what help is, because I could be offering to help you get housing, but maybe that's not what you want, right? So success, letting them define what their own success looks like and their own goals. And eventually, if you are consistent and you offer choices and options and you ensure that what you are doing aligns with what they want, I think every youth wants help. I don't think there's a time where they don't want it. They just want to know that you'll show up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like she said, consistency is big, but giving them options and allowing them to decide their own path and you make the decision, I'm just here to help you, is different than, you know, trying to force someone to do something that you believe is their perception of help or what they need. And so really letting a youth drive what they need and what they want is really the only way to really be there for someone, I think. And so communication, I think, is definitely always going to be key, because if you have good communication and you're consistent and, you know, showing up when you need to be, it's definitely going to make, you know, a transition or to help a lot better than trying to force someone to do something of what you think is best for them.
So what would you guys say to those service providers who are like, well, I offered it and they didn't take it, so obviously they don't want it, so they don't want help?
At the Dream Center, we say you offer it every day and every choice and space that's appropriate for you to do so. You know, people's mind changes with the blow of a wind, that today you might not be ready, but tomorrow you could be. And just because they weren't ready today doesn't mean that they won't be ready 2 hours from now. So you offer it in every space and opportunity that you have, and you provide the support, and then eventually they will be ready. But ready, again, ready looks different for every youth in whatever space that they need it to look like.
I think as a service provider, in general, if you're offering something that is not being received, then maybe it's a time to refocus. Do we need to offer it a different way? Do we need to give a different perception of it? I think that anytime there's this, you know, a scenario of that sort, it really is up to the service provider to really reevaluate too, because they may not be projecting it the way it's intended to. And so there just may be a little bit of regrouping in that sense from a service provider. But yes, offering it consistently and ongoing, people change their mind every day. I mean, so definitely giving someone a chance to be able to, I don't want it one day, but I do the next, is huge, because you may be in a better mood the next day, or something may be happening in your life that specific day that you don't want something, but the next you might.
Yeah, circumstances change frequently, especially for youth who are currently on the streets experiencing street homelessness, that, you know, one night on the street might look different versus another. Where you're sleeping tonight might look different versus where you're sleeping tomorrow. So
I like that. You guys' service doesn't have an expiration date. It's there whenever they need it.
Circumstances change consistently, constantly.
What advice would you guys have for youth that may be struggling?
There are safe spaces for you. There are people who want to help you. And even if you're not ready, allow yourself to sit in those spaces where you feel like you are uncomfortable, because eventually you'll see that those people are there and they want to help you. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah, I think very similar for me is don't be afraid, regardless of what the situation may be or that you're currently in. Don't be afraid to either explore, either it's okay to feel a certain way. There is help out there. It's just a matter of finding the right help that works for you. And like we kind of said earlier, is one thing may not work for you, but something else will. And so just being knowing that there is the resources and there's people there who care, whether they know you or not, they care to offer resources and they care to have, you know, careers or jobs that help others. Just be open to that, and you never know what can come out of it.
What advice would you guys give service providers who may want to get involved in supporting foster youth during the holidays?
I say, like, I have little sayings that I say all the time, but start from the basics and remember that common sense isn't common. And if you have this like grand plan to help youth to donate bikes, make sure that you're also helping them to learn how to ride them. So you want to donate these huge Thanksgiving meals. Has a youth ever cooked a turkey before? Right. So especially whenever it comes to youth services, starting at the basics and really helping them to gain those skills to move forward. So if you want to do something for youth, just think about the things that would go into that and maybe ask a youth around you. Get their feedback, right? We talk about youth voice. Reach out to our peers at the Dream Center with KCSOS or KCNC, and I'm sure that they would be willing to give you feedback.
I think some advice for our service providers would be to really realize what youth want during the holidays. What do they want? One of the things that I know our department does for the holidays for our youth is our holiday cottage, where we allow our youth to submit a wish of what they want for Christmas. And so we reach out to service providers, community members, and ask them to kind of help us fill these wishes, because there's so many, you know, youth in foster care at this time. And one of the things is we are very specific. If the youth is asking for something, that's exactly what we're going to write down as a wish. I'm not changing it. I'm not doing anything to what a youth asks for. And so in part of our marketing and, you know, talking to community members and service providers is whenever they're asking about filling these wishes, we, you know, some of those wishes are expensive. Things are expensive now compared to other times. And if a youth wants Jordans, you know, shoes, that's what they want. And we're not, you know, we're not changing that. And so what we tell them is to be realistic is that a youth who may be in foster care is similar to a youth that may be in your home. So they have the same wants during the holidays. And so we got to kind of really be aware of those things. And so when you're filling wishes, donating things to, you know, foster youth or youth in general during the holidays, is be realistic that they don't want a, you know, maybe a $20 gift card, even though, you know, most people will say, oh, just be grateful for a gift. It's not that. It's more of what is realistic and what does a youth want, and meeting those needs during the holidays, because during the holidays are hard for some people. So something small like getting a Christmas gift, maybe from a community member, is a great thing.
Can you elaborate a little more about the Holiday College for our listeners who may not be familiar?
Yeah. So every year, this is our 37th year, the Department of Human Services puts on a location to fulfill wishes for foster youth. And during that time, we collect about 700 wishes. And so we send out letters to their foster parents, youth who live on their own. We work with the Dream Center, work with social workers at the department to make contact with all, you know, all children and ask them what they want for Christmas. So once we get those wishes, we'll do a live location where we display wishes of all ages. It's not just older youth at the Holiday Cottage, it's all children, 0 to 21. And so there we display what wishes the person submitted, whether it be a Barbie doll or, like I said, a gift card, Jordans, makeup, whatever, a bike, it can be anything. We'll display those. We'll ask the community member to come out, see our wishes, help us fulfill these wishes, get these gifts out to children before Christmas so that everybody gets, you know, one wish that they wanted for Christmas at the bare minimum from us. And we make sure everybody gets whatever wish they want. And so there's different ways to fulfill those wishes. You know, we go out to the community, we'll do news conferences, we'll do press conferences, we'll release information. But the community is able to donate funds and we go do the purchasing for them. They can go pick the item that the child or youth asks for, bring it back to us, and then we'll ensure that the youth gets a bear before Christmas.
That's amazing. You said that was been going on for 37 years.
Yeah, and it continues to grow. Like I said, needs and wants of kids increase by the year. You know, things are just more expensive. And so sometimes some of our gifts are a little pricey, but we get everything filled through different organizations, community partners, individuals, even we'll see a lot of like families come in and just choose kids of their own age. So like somebody who may be a youth will come and pick a 17-year-old just to kind of help, you know, give back. And so it's a great program. It fulfills a lot of gifts. It's definitely a lot of work. It happens within a couple weeks. But the goal is definitely worth it. It's rewarding. We get a lot of help from it, from, you know, organizations like the Dream Center. The whole place is helping us get those wishes because we have to, it's very fast. Submit what you want. Somebody goes to buy it and we got to get it back to you right before Christmas. So it's definitely a great opportunity for you to get, you know, a special gift during Christmas.
And I have one last question regarding Holiday College, just so our listeners can get a scale of how big Holiday College is. On average, for Holiday College, how many youth do you guys gift overall? Like, how many students receive gifts?
This last year, we had 700 gifts sent out. This year, I think we're going to beat that record because we're still filling wishes right now. It's still in the process right now. But we've had at least 750 wishes submitted, and we ensure that every wish gets filled before the college closes.
Amazing.
That is very amazing.
So in December, we host different workshops and events for the youth to attend. We try to keep them very youth focused. We do like a poll during November and like sometimes during the beginning of December to kind of see what it is that they want, what kind of events that they look forward to. We host a Christmas dinner every year where we eat a meal with the youth and they come. And then we also let them decide what that dinner looks like. So we do like a voting thing. And then whatever they want, that's what we get for them. We do Christmas tree decorating in the beginning of the month. We usually do like a holiday cookie decorating thing. We do a lot of like life skills classes, but we try to gear them in December towards looking forward to the future, right? So today we did like vision boards, just making sure that the youth understand that like, hey, this is a hard spot that you're in right now, but this is not what it will look like forever. This is a moment in time. Everything is just a moment. And we just make sure that we try to gear whatever it is that they need. And then that's what we're delivering during the month. So we ask for a lot of youth feedback. During our Christmas dinner event, we also get donations through the community. We've been supported this year by Valley Strong. They've donated some funds so we can buy the youth gifts. And every youth that comes to our Christmas event dinner, they leave with a gift, whether it be like a gift card or whatever it would look like, they leave with something.
I like that. And I like how kind of the Dream Center is kind of, I would say, kind of like family oriented. Like you guys do things with them, like kind of like you guys said, making the cookies or the tree. It's kind of like a family theme kind of thing. So I like that aspect.
Exactly. That's what we try to focus on. We say all the time, like we are their people. Like this is where they come. This is like their safe space. Whenever something's going on, whether it's like happy or sad, they come to share it with us. And we just want to be there.
And I think for those youth who don't have solid family ties, you go to the center and you do these things. And then when you have your own family, then you can start those traditions in doing a certain day being the tree decorating or the cookie decorating and starting those family traditions.
What impact have you seen on holiday initiatives that you have on youth you work with?
I think it's interesting because the few weeks leading up to each holiday, whether it be like Thanksgiving or Christmas, I recognize that the youth are having a hard time, that the youth are coming in and they're struggling with things that maybe they haven't struggled with in a while and they're just being triggered and there's certain things being brought up. But always around the days of the events, youth typically perk up. We don't do our Thanksgiving or Christmas event on the actual days of Thanksgiving or Christmas because we're closed. So that's typically like the holiday for the youth, right? Because they don't have anywhere else to spend it. So they're excited. Like they're excited to come in and see us and share that time. And we're intentional. We make it intentional to like sit down and share the meal with them. So they're excited to like sit down and just like have a conversation with us and just to like hang out, right? Like we're just people sitting at a table, sharing a meal, hanging out. So it's interesting to see them struggle before and after. But on that day, you can tell a lot of youth, it's what they're looking forward to.
For me, which, because it's a little different than the Dream Center, at least the Holiday Cottage has a good impact on the youth, because they are getting the gifts that they're asked for. It's an additional, you know, Christmas gift. So it's always been a positive impact. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to have a negative impact when you're giving somebody a gift and it's something they wanted. So we, for us, it's very positive with this specific project that we work with, because they're excited and they're getting a gift than what they asked for. And sometimes it's more than what they asked for. So that's always a positive thing, because we don't put a limit on the max somebody can donate when a foster youth is asking for something. So, you know, for us, it's always a good time. I know the holidays are hard. So what may be happening, you know, in the background is a little different. And so, we're thankful to always partner with the Dream Center, because we know what kind of services they offer and what positive, you know, support they are for the youth. But definitely holidays for us with this specific project is always a positive experience, to be able to see their faces when they come pick up their gifts. Because a lot of the youth are, you know, drive themselves. So they come pick up their gift and we get to see the joy and the happiness when they get something they really wanted.
And I like how they can kind of pretty much appreciate that consistency, because you guys do it year in and year out. So I'm pretty sure they're excited to do it every year.
Yeah. And once I feel like once youth realize that it's a yearly thing, they look forward to it the next year, and knowing that you just need to tell us what you want. And sometimes we know youth get busy or it's not priority for them to fill out a form or tell us what their wish are. But once they start doing it, it's a tradition that, you know, they get, where they get a gift from someone in the community who they don't know who. But it's still, you know, they're thankful for someone donating to them.
I mean, I think as they get older, it kind of becomes that full circle moment where then they get to give the gift, because they know what it's like to be in the system and they know that a youth is really going to value this gift.
And we see that a lot. We'll see people come back who either received a gift or have some kind of experience within the cottage. And they do come back, and we do see that full circle of, I received a gift and now I'm giving back to the community. And so it's always great to see, you know, youth who have made positive impacts in their life and, you know, now have careers and jobs and bring in their own families. And, you know, they remember they received a gift at one point, and now they're teaching their children or their, you know, friends to learn about it and what it means to give back to others.
I think that it's so, I don't know, exciting for me to see, because I think a lot of youth still have that capacity for compassion, where like even if they're not in the best place, they'll still, and I see it all the time, especially around the holidays, like they're still willing to help each other out. So like I'll see a youth pick up a shirt at the Dream Center and another youth will be like, oh, I like that. And they're like, oh, do you want it? You can have the shirt. Or like whenever we're having like our holiday event, they'll take a toy and say like, oh, you know, my best friend has a son, so I'm taking this toy from my best friend's son, because I've like maybe they've never been able to give a gift before. Or if they know that another youth wants something, they're like, hey, I'll share my meal with you. A youth's capacity for like compassion and just, I don't know, to give, even if they're not in the best spots themselves, it's amazing. It's nice to see.
So obviously these are big events that you guys put on. Do you guys collaborate with other organizations or community members to support the work you do during the holidays?
For the Holiday Cottage, we partner with a lot of organizations, community partners. We get sponsorships from different organizations, sometimes large sponsorship, which make the cottage run. And so we definitely partner with a lot of people. Some of them are, this year we had a large donation from Kern Family Healthcare. We had a large donation from Stenson's, from Ben and Debbie. We had donations from like different organizations that are just wanting to donate during the holidays. Those donations for us typically come in, you know, a large amount. And then we provide, you know, we do the shopping for them. So there's definitely a lot of organizations within the community that do partner with the Holiday Cottage. The Care Foundation is another one. And so we really rely on those donations to be able to fill so many wishes. I mean, when we're talking about 700 wishes to fill for the community, at the very minimum, just about every gift is minimum $50. This year, we increased the amount to 100. Of course, not every gift is 100. A 2-year-old doesn't necessarily need a $100 gift. But we know that our youth do. We know that it costs a lot of money, even for a sweater right now, you know. And there's brands and there's things that are in fashion and styles that youth want. And so part of that justifying it was time to increase our, you know, our prices or what we wanted to spend on each child or youth, really relied on that. And so those community donations that we get are huge to be able to fill 700 wishes and make sure that youth get what they're exactly what they're asking for. And then again, whatever wishes are not filled through, you know, our partnerships and our donations and our funding is the community who goes and purchases themselves. So our organization definitely requires a lot of collaboration, a lot of donations with the community. And not just that, a lot of help with the Dream Center is one of them that we really do use a lot of help from them. Not solely staff that work for the Department of Human Services, but staff that are through the superintendent of schools or through other organizations because they have those connections with youth. And so if we want to know what youth want and what gifts they want, we have to have that relationship with other organizations so they can assist us in getting these gifts out and knowing what youth want.
So in order to make our events happen at the Dream Center, the Dream Center itself is a collaborative building. So the multiple partner agencies that sit there facilitate our events with us. We have Kern County Probation, Kern County Superintendent of Schools, like she mentioned, Department of Human Services, Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. So anybody who spends a little bit of time at the Dream Center, they come, they hang out with the youth, they facilitate the raffles with us. They make sure that the youth are having a good time and that they feel welcomed. And we look to the community to support like the foundation of what we're doing that day. So like I mentioned earlier, Valley Strong sponsored us this year to buy raffle presents. First United Methodist Church is purchasing the food for us this year. And then we always, and this like never fails, I love our community, last minute we'll just get donations of toys, we'll get donations of jackets, of things that we can just hand out to the youth as they come in and the youth can pick and choose things from. So it's a collaboration of partner agencies that deliver youth services here in town and also our community.
And you guys receive donations from all of the community. I know this is a big one. Even I just want to throw this in there because I love Dream Center so much. You guys recently donated a car as well.
Yeah. So we have, and that youth will get their car December 4th. So we have a community member who has been donating funds the past, I think this is our third round of applications, and youth fill out an application. There's a process where the applications are screened, and then based on need and sustainability, the youth is then given a car, and that's in a partnership with Jim Burke Ford here in town. So this will be our third round, our third youth receiving a gently used car from Jim Burke Ford at no cost to them. And then we just make sure that we work with the youth for 6 months, sometimes longer after that, so they can maintain the car. So again, starting from the basics, we're not just going to give them something and then not help mm-hmm. them understand what it takes to maintain that car. We work with them to make sure that they can pay their insurance. We work with them to make sure they understand, like, hey, you have to get your oil changed and you have to check your mm-hmm. fluids and this is what this looks like. So it's really exciting, actually, to see them get their car. A lot of the youth, it's just transportation is like one of the biggest barriers, right? To be able to do anything, to get anywhere, like doctor's appointments, meeting your basic needs, going to school. We expect them to get a job, but most jobs start early in the morning and the buses aren't running. And then you get off work and the buses have stopped running. So now what's your opportunity for transportation? And sometimes it's not safe. So just being able to give a youth a car, and it's like that huge step up, right? Like that huge bridging that gap and that barrier for them, the things that they're able to do, and just seeing them excited. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And I love how you guys start with the basics, you know, like you give them the car, but you're not just like, here, you like mm-hmm. this needs this, that, and the third, but we're going to walk you through it because mm-hmm. you know, this, we're donating this car to you and we understand how much it may take to upkeep and we're going to help you with that.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing to think about, especially in youth services. Like, what's everything that goes along with what you're offering them mm-hmm. and not just giving them something and expecting them to do it or maintain it or expect them to know. Common sense isn't common.
One of the things that when, you know, you mentioned about the car is amazing that it reminded me is at the Holiday Cottage, we have a live location where people come and pick the wishes and it's furnished. So it looks kind of like has a sofa and a little coffee table and just different furniture there. That furniture is donated for us from IKEA. And so at the end of the cottage, whenever the cottage closes, we work with the Dream Center to identify a youth who will take that furniture and keep it. So every year since IKEA has started donating to us, we have at the end of the cottage, right when we're ready to close, that furniture goes to a youth who then is, you know, typically youth who's living on their own, either through transitional housing or whatever program they are. And they get the whole new setup of furniture for them.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that was very
yeah. Cool. It's been great. I've gotten to see the past like 3 or 4 years where youth has received that furniture. And a lot of times it's a youth who just got their first apartment. And from youth feedback, what we hear is that, like, I have this apartment, but I feel like I'm squatting in it because all of my stuff is in a trash bag still. And I don't have like a couch or anything like that. So to see them like be excited to like take ownership of their space because they have furniture and now they can decorate and utilize and sit at a table. I think one time they got like a kitchen dining table. They were so excited, like, hey, I can sit here and have a meal. Like, it matters.
How can community members and organizations collaborate to provide support for youth during the holidays with you guys?
For us specifically at the department, is the Holiday Cottage is one of the great ways to really collaborate with us. And they can reach out to us directly. They can come down to our life space. And, you know, we're an organization where if you're willing to donate, we'll find the right location for it. And so sometimes we'll get calls and say, oh, I want to donate this specifically, whether it be something like furniture or something like that. And we will find the right person for it, whether it be a youth, you know, someone who's working with the Dream Center. You know, it just really depends. We'll reach out to our social workers and ask, you know, we have a donor who wants to donate this specific item, who would benefit from it. And so anything like that is really helpful. And so reaching out to us at the Holiday Cottage, directly to our email, we are, you can email us at currentholidaycottage.com. We will make sure to facilitate any kind of partnership, big or small, or even just support, getting the word out. Anything really helps within organizations during the holidays when there's, you know, events or things going on. So anybody who'd want to partner with us, that's just the easiest way to contact us, and we'll find a way to work together.
Yeah. Same for the Dream Center during the holidays. If you're interested in making a donation, we do accept donations year round. You can find our wish list at kern.org, or you can always just call and ask us questions at the front desk if you want to facilitate or foster a partnership. If you want to donate goods for our Christmas event so we can raffle things away for our youth, the phone number is 661-636-4488.
You guys already shared some memorable experiences, like with the car instance and donating furniture, but can you share a memorable experience or success story from working during the holiday season?
I think my, you know, most successful stories come from just like having the actual Christmas dinner event with the youth. Some of our youth are parenting themselves, so it's a success to me when I can see that parent come in with their little ones and they're enjoying a meal together and they're just sharing that time. And then they're always so appreciative to us, like, hey, thank you so much for, you know, hosting this or having this. And, you know, seeing the staff and the youth and the children really interact, I think that's a success. A lot of times we think of like tangible items, but it's also important to like foster that belongingness and that, that they matter.
Creating those traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Very, very similar response that I have. And one of the things that I think is fostering that success is really successful for me is communication and collaborating, whether it be you working with the youth and making sure that they have a good Christmas, similar to what Dream Center does with all these different events and activities they do for the youth, but also collaborating within organizations to help youth and to have a purpose to help others. And so that to me is a big success. Of course, it's a success when a child gets a gift and they're so excited, or when a youth gets what they wanted, but more so is really a teaching moment as to someone is giving to you and kind of just discussing that, like, you know, you mean something to someone who you don't know, and they're not even asking us to tell you who gave you the gift. It is anonymous. We just give you the gift. So somebody in the community cared enough to give a gift. And so really, you know, emphasizing that is that we care, somebody here cares, is I think really a success for me, is that really, you know, having that collaboration, talking, being open communication, and really expressing that, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, somebody cares about you, I think is really important for me.
For your individual organizations that you guys work for, what are some of the goals that you guys see setting moving forward for your organizations?
So moving forward, Kern County Network for Children, we just hope to continue to deliver youth services. we hope that there are more housing opportunities. A lot of our youth are experiencing street homelessness, and there's definitely a big need for housing opportunities in our community for youth specifically. So I hope to see that increase. And one of our goals would be to support that housing by delivering supportive services to youth and kind of, like Janessa said earlier, meeting them where they're at and whatever it is that they may need. And always helping with, like, you know, that strong foundation, like the basics of collaborating with the youth themselves and filling those gaps.
We're a partnering agency, so our goals are very similar in the sense of helping youth and what direction we'd like to see. Of course, we'd partner with the Dream Center and, you know, Network for Children and every, you know, every organization that's really supporting youth. So definitely similar goals. The only thing I would add is specifically for La Jolla Cottage, our goal is to continue to grow. We, you know, there is more than 700 youth and children in foster care. And so our goal is definitely to make sure that every single child within our system is receiving something special during Christmas. And so specifically for our Holiday Cottage project, we'd love to see it grow year after year. We're at 37 years. We're hoping to continue, and we'll kind of see where we hope to grow every year, and we'll kind of see where it goes. And one of the things that I do talk to my team about is, how can we grow specifically for youth? Because they are someone that we feel really needs this extra gift. And a lot of times that gift is really a gift card. It's a $100 gift card, a Visa gift card, or a $100 gift card to somewhere that they want. And so really focusing on youth has always been a big goal of ours, and it will continue to be, because we know that a lot of people want to donate to smaller children. It's the youth that we really have to focus on. And so part of our marketing usually is the youth. That's who we're going to focus on. And so we hope to continue to focus on youth year after year to grow and helping that population.
I wanted to add something. I just envision like doing this work like 5 to 10 years from now. And I really see like the Dream Center with Kern County Networks for Children focus of like child abuse prevention. The Dream Center is that opportunity to like break cycles and really model and instill different opportunities into youth. And I think it's at like kind of perfect age. So just looking forward personally, not only for our agency, but like in time, I would just like to see youth like grow and thrive and break those cycles of abuse and that, you know, do well.
Is there anything you wish we asked you guys? Or something you want to shout out, maybe?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, we talk about youth voice and what we're doing for the holidays. Do you guys have any advice for us for our youth-centered events or maybe anything that you want to give us for kind of what we're doing?
I'll start and give some Brian some time to think. I think continuing what you're doing, I think what you're doing is amazing, both of you, and that you are keeping youth at the center of it and following what they need and who they are and meeting them where they're at, because nobody else is going to. And continuing to be just giving and giving everything that you have.
I don't have any advice, but I think just sticking to the game plan that you guys already have, like kind of staying with the youth and not losing the long-term goal. You guys don't strive away from helping the youth. Essentially, you guys kind of stick with it. So I think just keeping that consistency and moving it forward. That's about it.
Thank you.
And I know it can be very easy to get burnt out from this work. It's not easy working with youth hands-on and through social workers. So I think taking time for yourself during these times and remembering your why. Why do you do this? Who do you do this for?
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for asking us.
I'm thankful for you guys giving us the opportunity to just talk about it, because we're both youth driven when it comes to, you know, our programs or, you know, activities that are being facilitated. And so just hearing, you know, that we want to talk about it and have that open forum about it, I think is so important. And so I'm thankful for just giving the opportunity to come talk about it, because, you know, programs like the Holiday Cottage, some youth may not know and they'd be missing out on an opportunity to get something for not knowing what it is. And so having this kind of, you know, place to talk about it where youth, you know, are able to just listen and don't have to necessarily, you know, be questioned or, you know, that kind of stuff, I feel like it's great opportunity to really just get information out.
Yeah, I'll kind of echo that. The space, most of the time, like Dream Center youth will come in because other youth will tell them to, like, hey, you can go here and you'll get help. And they're more likely to come if another youth tells them versus like a service provider or someone that they don't see as like, oh, I can trust you. Mm-hmm. So allowing us a space like on your podcast where it's like a forum that youth trust and they find safe for us to talk about these things. I mean, it's a privilege. Thank you.
So before we wrap things up, this is our signature question, and this can be a personal life motto or something you use for your work. But what is your life motto?
My life motto is, you know, I've been in child welfare for over 10 years. And so I was a social worker for many, many years. And my motto in life, as well as my career, is always just to treat others how you want to be treated. And it's really guided my career and the way I've treated children I work with, youth I work with, and now even as a manager in my organization, just a staff I work with. And so just always treating people the way I want to be treated in whatever capacity that may be has really been my motto.
Ooh, I don't know if I have a motto, but what I find myself saying a lot lately is operate under the assumption that nothing is ever about you. And I find myself saying that a lot to people who are also in the same fields, because like you said earlier, this can be hard and we get very, very invested in the work that we're doing. So whenever we see a youth and we're like, hey, like, you know, I'm struggling, and they're just like, I want to help them and I just like can't get them there. And you take that on personally, and that's what becomes very, very heavy. So just reminding people that, like, hey, it's not about you. Like, it's not your journey. It's not your space. It's not your failure. It's not your victory. It's the work that they put in when they're ready and what they want. And then I also tell youth the same thing. Like, whenever you're building these relationships and then you interact with people and they give you a certain attitude or they do something, like, you're going into these things with the best intentions and you're trying your best. And when you show up, you show up, and that's all that matters. And what happens after that, like, it's not about you. Maybe that person was having a hard day. Maybe that person just genuinely didn't have the answer or the resource that you needed. It's not about you.
And I would like to thank you both for collaborating with the rest of the community and just for trying to bring joy to our youth during the holiday season. I'm pretty sure it means everything to them, and it means everything to us as well.
We thank you for your dedicated drive towards this cause. It's such a beautiful cause, and not a lot of people, I think a lot of people think, well, it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. And so to see that you guys are very dedicated to what you do, I think it shows that humans have a compassionate heart.
Thank you.
I love that we did this episode. Thank you to Brian for the amazing idea of doing this episode. I didn't think of it, but I really do like the guests that we brought on and who we brought on.
Last episode was your idea, so, you know, I had to try it for the holidays to do it for this one time. But I definitely loved our guests we had on the show and what they do for our community. It shows that we really collaborate to do whatever, to make whatever happen for the youth happen.
Yeah, and it really shows that there is no stops. Everything is pulled out for these kids to show that people care about them and to show that their community cares. They may be in a hard spot, but they have someone out there fighting for them.
Yeah, and I really am going to put an emphasis on how, you know, whether the roadblocks be to making this happen, they really get it done and make it happen year in and year out. So shout out to them.
For sure. And I love that you can tell that they care. When they talk, you can hear the passion in their voice and how they put this at the forefront of their mind, because they know. They know what it's going to do for these kids and the outcome that it will create for them and the community.
Once again, I thank our guests.
Very passionate. I love it. This holiday season, I urge you to check your privilege. Remember your blessings, and remember that not everybody has a home to go home to or a bed to lay in. Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoy what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment to rate us and leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness of the podcast and find new listeners.
And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.